And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Friday as we kickstart the weekend with plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Coming up, which team in the NBA could take advantage of the current situation? Plus, history is against the Atlanta Falcons. Presbyterian made a very interesting hire yesterday. Is the biggest story in the NFL actually a real story? Now that the draft has come and gone, which teams in the NFL are best situated for the upcoming season? And the latest on name, image, and likeness, not only in this state, but elsewhere in the SEC. Albert Pujols released by the Angels. Is he done? Is Julio Jones on the move? Get you ready for Mother's Day this weekend. Soccer is back in the low country. We got a lot to do over the next couple of hours. Torrey Gurley, former Gamecock wide receiver, scheduled to join us later on this afternoon as well. And you could join the conversation throughout 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays, on Facebook, ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com. Or head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, where there you can always leave a message for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted online, or you could take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3, we got some giveaways to get to throughout the afternoon as well, plenty to do. As we start the weekend early, Joe's on the board. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, what's going on? It's Friday, so that means things are going quite well.
Yes, you got that right. Let me start with this. The Brooklyn Nets have now lost 4 in a row. The LA Lakers were blown out by the Clippers last night. They have lost 7 of 9. And both teams, despite being the two champion favorites, have plenty of issues right now. LeBron James is injured and not playing. In fact, he's not even with the team at the moment. And just the other day said that he may never be 100% again. The Lakers are without LeBron, and then last night, Anthony Davis got injured as well. Now, here is Brian Windhorst, who is the famous LeBron scribe, works for ESPN. Brian on SportsCenter talking about LeBron's ankle injury and what it may mean for the Lakers moving forward.
I don't think you're going to see much LeBron James the rest of the regular season. One of the big issues is the Lakers have 7 games left, and 6 of them are part of back-to-back sets. And LeBron, with this issue, is just not going to play in back-to-back games. And then you have the fact that, you know, he had a setback. His ankle just didn't respond like he had hoped playing over last weekend, and it needs more rest. It needs some time to heal, and he needs to get more comfortable cutting on it. So I do think you'll see him out there, you know, trying to get some rhythm before the playoffs. But the Lakers are probably going to have to fight for that seed largely without LeBron for the rest of this couple of weeks.
Which obviously is not good for the Lakers. It's not good for LeBron either. He's older now. He's dealing with more injuries lately. And then they linger longer. As soon as he comes back from the injury, he re-injures himself pretty quickly. Then, that was the setback Brian Windhorst was talking about. Now he's out a little bit longer. He doesn't recover as quickly. Just as you probably don't either. You can relate as you get older. Suddenly it's like, oh, man, I can't golf twice in the same weekend. My back can't handle it. I don't recover quite as quick. And now on top of it, Anthony Davis is injured once again as well, leaving the game last night with what seemed to be an apparent ankle injury, though the Lakers did say it was just back spasms. But we saw Anthony Davis clutching his ankle as he left the game. When he left the floor, he hurt his ankle. Seems like it may just be the classic cover-up by the Lakers. Like when you're somewhere you shouldn't be, and the next day somebody comes up to you and they say, did I see you at that restaurant last night? And he said, no, it wasn't me. And they said, I think I saw you. And he said, it must be someone who looks like me. When you know you were there, you know they saw you. Both people know. You know they caught you. You know you're caught. They know they caught you. But you're still just, you just don't want to admit it. And it's the obvious cover-up. Nah, it must be, you know, I've heard this before. There's somebody in town that looks a lot like me. It must have been him last night. Just like this situation with Anthony Davis. Looked like it was the ankle. They can say back spasms. Oh, it's nothing too serious. Just his back tightened up. It looked like he injured the ankle. I'd be concerned about the Davis injury. Especially when you add it with the LeBron injury. And the fact that Dennis Schroeder is out as well. The Lakers are missing their three best players. And now are tied with the Portland Trailblazers for the last spot, or maybe you want to call it the first spot, in the play-in round. That seventh seed. And they have to play one another tonight. It's a huge game, 10 o'clock on, I believe, ESPN tonight. And especially with the fact that the Lakers will be playing with their B squad this evening, makes it even more important. The Lakers may fall into that play-in round. Meanwhile, in the East, the Brooklyn Nets have been unable to get all three stars on the floor at the same time. James Harden has still played more games with the Rockets this year than he has with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And no team in NBA history has ever won an NBA championship when their three leading scorers have played fewer than 10 games together throughout a season. Here is head coach Steve Nash, first-year head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, talking about the difficulties that the Nets have faced this year, or how this is certainly less than an ideal situation.
I think it's a great experience for us to recognize where we are. You know, we've got a gap to make up here. So we understand that's a team that's been running the same offense, been playing together, same schemes on defense for years now, gone deep into the playoffs, and that's something that we don't have. So how can we make up that gap? We're trying to get everyone back to full health, and we're going to try to overcome a lack of common experiences. And that is our challenge as much as anything. So while we do that, can we be more physical? Can we be more connected? Can we handle and control some of the controllables that can help us hang in some of these games and win some of these games while we're trying to put the pieces together?
That was Steve Nash first comparing the Nets to the Bucks and the different situations they're in currently, and then laying out the concerns for the Brooklyn Nets, the favorite to win the championship in the East. While being led by that man right there, Steve Nash, a first-time head coach who's trying to, you know, balance all these different plates in the air while doing it on the fly without any prior experience. It's not a veteran head coach that is trying to make this all work. Right, not only do you have the concerns on the floor, but now the leader is also in this position for the first time, trying to figure out the best way to handle things. And we just saw this play out last year at the Clippers, where the Clippers seemed to have the most talented roster in the league. They put together the great duo of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But they never played together, at least not enough in the regular season. And we thought, that's okay. Their talent will overcome their lack of experience. They're too good. Get them on the floor at the same time in the postseason, they'll be just fine. And yet, when it came time for the postseason, it didn't matter how much talent they had because they were lacking that most important experience. And that's what kept them from trying to win in the playoffs, blowing a 3-1 lead. Are we falling for the same trick again? Are we simply falling into the same trap of, Brooklyn, they'll be fine. They have all this talent, even though they're not playing together. Right, come playoff time, they'll figure it out. Get them on the floor, they'll be fine. But the Nets just lost to the Bucks twice this week. Giannis played great in both games. So which teams in the NBA are ready to step up? Which teams are ready to take advantage? Because we believe the Nets and the Lakers from the start of the season were the two favorites this year. But now, with the playoffs 11 days away, both have huge holes in their hopes of winning a championship. Whether it's the Lakers banged up and having to play in the play-in round, whether it's Brooklyn, who doesn't have maybe the chemistry together and very well could wind up as a 3 seed by the time the playoffs begin. This is nothing new in the NBA. We will see, oftentimes, a team take advantage of an opportunity and go all the way to win an NBA championship. You may recall just a few years ago when the Toronto Raptors won their first NBA championship with Kawhi Leonard and did so in large part because of all the injuries sustained by the Warriors. When the Pistons won the championship back in 1989, it was in large part because Larry Bird was injured. It allowed the Pistons to be the number one seed, then they beat the Celtics in the playoffs without Larry Bird. And then Magic Johnson was also injured that year, and the Pistons were able to beat the Lakers. Makes it a little bit easier when you don't have to deal with the two best players in the league. The Celtics beat the Lakers way back in 1965, in part because Elgin Baylor did not play in that NBA Finals. He was injured. When the Sixers won their only championship of the 80s, they beat the Lakers in part because, well, James Worthy was injured, didn't play. The Spurs in 2003, when Dirk Nowitzki the Spurs and Mavs tied for the best record. Then Dirk got injured for the Mavericks. I was like, well, that makes it a little bit easier for the Spurs. They don't have to worry about the team that's just as good as them in the West. The Heat in 2012 went on to win the NBA championship, but they were in the middle of the conference while the Bulls were the number one seed. Derrick Rose got injured in the first round, and that made it a little bit easier for the Heat. A few years ago, you could say when Chris Paul got injured and the Warriors were able to come back and beat the Rockets, then went on to win the NBA Finals. You could even say the Rockets back in the 90s when they won their championships while Michael Jordan was playing baseball. Wasn't an injury, but it was an opportunity that they took advantage of. Maybe last year the same with the Lakers in the bubble or even the Heat just getting to the championship. Unusual circumstances and a couple of teams that took advantage of their opportunity. Teams are given opportunities frequently in the NBA to step up. And quite a few times in history, somebody has. When a favorite has an injury, right, when you have an easier path in the postseason to go through, and that leads to a champion that maybe we weren't expecting, or maybe not necessarily the best team in the league, but the best team at the time. So who will it be this year? Who can it be? Because while the Lakers and Nets, I do believe, are the best teams in the league, they may not be the best teams right now. The Lakers are playing with their B squad, and even if the Nets get all three stars healthy, they've only played with one another fewer than 7 games. Can we trust them? So who can step up this year to try and win a championship? Well, in the East, for all the attention we give to Brooklyn, it is, of course, the 76ers who are the number one seed. And they've won the season series this year against Brooklyn. Joel Embiid was my MVP prior to his injury. And the Bucks right now are just behind Brooklyn for the 2 seed. They may pass them in the next week and a half. And with pressure off of both of those teams, Philadelphia and Milwaukee, because of all the attention paid to Brooklyn, maybe this is the opportunity for them to break through. I don't think the Knicks or Hawks could win the East, but I do think they are very intriguing playoff teams. The Knicks play hard, they play good defense, they're playing really well of late, and are led by a veteran, like the aforementioned Derrick Rose. The Hawks are a team with many scoring options, led by a star in Trae Young, playing better defense since the coaching change. Meanwhile, in the West, Utah has been the best team in the league all year. And they seem to be the number one seed with home court advantage throughout, and they're 29-4 at home this year. That could be quite the advantage. The Suns have the best record since the start of the bubble last year and are now led by Chris Paul, who would be on my MVP list. Maybe not number one, but he would certainly probably be top three on my ballot. And then, of course, there are the Clippers, who have won 19 of their last 25 games. They're playing really well here in the second half of the season. And we know the talent that they have. New coach this year, that helps. Doc Rivers has underachieved in the postseason. He's now gone in Philadelphia. That could be a concern for the Sixers. And I think we may have been a year early on the Clippers. We thought last year would be their season. But it was their first year. Guys didn't play together enough. And then we kind of forget about them this year. We write them off immediately. Ah, the Clippers, they're not going to win. Right? They had to fire their coach. They choked again last year. Paul George was disappointing in the playoffs. Yeah, the Clippers, they're not who we thought they were. And we focus on the Lakers, much like in the East. We've kind of given up on the Bucks. Oh, Giannis is never going to win. Ben Simmons and Embiid in Philadelphia, they can't win any playoff series, especially now with the Brooklyn Nets. We put all our attention to the Lakers and the Nets, not realizing what these other teams are accomplishing. And maybe we were just a year early on the Clippers. Maybe this is their season. Year two, a little bit easier, right? You've played with one another. New coach in there, that could help. And they put things together to go and win a championship. But with all of that said, how about this old switcheroo? Because I think, regardless of everything I may have just laid out, I still think the Brooklyn Nets will win the NBA championship. And maybe I am falling for the same trap as a year ago with the Clippers. The old fool me twice, shame on me. But I don't trust the 76ers just yet, nor do I trust Doc Rivers in the playoffs. I don't think the Bucks have a good enough big three. I don't know if Giannis is ready to win a big-time series on his own, and I don't think he has enough help to do so. And the Nets, when healthy, still have the best trio we've seen. But even if the Nets don't have their big three for every playoff game, they may still be okay, because the Nets without one of their stars are still in a position that most teams wish they were. Only Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? Sure. Right? Only James Harden and Kyrie Irving? Whatever the duo, it would make most teams in the league envious. Like, man, I wish we had those two guys. In fact, when the Nets play with only two of their three stars this year, which has been the majority of the season, they still have the same winning percentage as the Milwaukee Bucks. You could take away one of Brooklyn's stars, they'd still be tied with Milwaukee for the 2 seed in the East, which is essentially where they are now. they'd be one game behind their current pace. Brooklyn's field goal percentage is the same when two of their stars plays as it is when all three play. And defensively, the Nets have allowed eight fewer points per game when playing with just two of the stars compared to all three. Statistically, they're pretty much the same. This is a great opportunity, sure, for another team to step up. This is their chance for somebody like the Jazz or the Bucks to actually turn this into an NBA championship finally, especially the Bucks, after they've been knocking on the door for so many years. This is your chance to try to kick it in. But I still think the Brooklyn Nets are the best team in the league and the favorites to win it all. I do think they are good enough to figure it out. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I trust them in the playoffs. I didn't trust Paul George last year. James Harden, I don't trust him as much in the postseason. But now he can be the third option if all three are on the court instead of the number one option. That helps. I trust that more than Paul George as the number two option behind Kawhi Leonard. I still like Brooklyn to win the NBA championship, and I'm not moving off of that. When they first acquired James Harden, I didn't think it was going to work. And it took about a week or two for me to change my mind. And ever since then, I've said, Brooklyn, they are winning the championship this year. And as we are now 11 days out from the NBA playoffs, I still feel the same way. Are there concerns? Of course. First-time head coach, not a ton of chemistry between the three playing together. But I still do believe they are talented enough to make things work. The Clippers were up 3-1 last year. They just couldn't close things out. And I think Brooklyn could be a good enough team to close things out. Even though Steve Nash has never coached in the playoffs before and Doc Rivers has won an NBA championship, when it comes to the playoffs, Doc Rivers is not the same coach. We'll see what Steve Nash brings to the table. But I trust Brooklyn more than I do the Clippers a year ago, and I still believe Brooklyn will win the championship this year, regardless of the lack of chemistry, or at least playing time, with each other in the regular season. Coming up, I know, I won't let this Matt Ryan thing go with the Falcons. They should have drafted Justin Fields last week. But when we come back, I do have history on my side, and I'll share it with you. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, history may be against the Atlanta Falcons. And are they moving Julio Jones? We'll get to that coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Plus, got some giveaways to do later on and throughout this afternoon. Hey, soccer is coming back to the Lowcountry. The Charleston Battery begin their season tonight on the road in New Jersey against those darn New York Red Bulls. Tonight at 7 o'clock, you can watch it online. I think it's maybe on ESPN Plus. There's some way to watch it. You can find it online, charlestonbattery.com, if you want to watch the game tonight. But how about this? A week from today will be the home opener for the Charleston Battery. The bad news? It's already sold out, so you missed your opportunity if you wanted to go. They're playing next Friday, 7 o'clock, against the Charlotte Independents. Here's the good news. We'll be out there next Friday. The Morrow Midday Show will be live from Patriots Point a week from today for the home opener of the Charleston Battery. Looking forward to that. Then the following week, we'll be out at the PGA Championship. So the weather's turning, it's nice out, and we're getting out in about the next couple of weeks. But a week from today, we'll be there during the afternoon. Of course, the game's at 7 o'clock at night. We'll be doing the show from Patriots Point next week to get ready for the home opener of the Charleston Battery. They begin their season tonight, home opener next Friday. Your first chance, if you don't have tickets already to the home opener, well, too late, it's sold out. So your next chance to see them will be May 23rd. It's a Sunday afternoon against the New York Red Bulls. That'll be their next home game in which tickets are still available. So welcome back to the Charleston Battery and soccer here to the Lowcountry after a long offseason and everything that's gone on since. We'll start catching up with some members of the organization as the season moves forward throughout this summer. So looking forward to it. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's go to the phones. Gary is with us. Gary, what's going on? How are you? Gary? Oh, no. Looks like we may have lost him. You can always give us a call back. 843-721-9500. You can always text the show. 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Plenty of ways to always contact the show. We open the show talking about the NBA playoffs and the situation right now for two of the favorites, the Nets and the Lakers. The NBA playoffs begin 11 days from now. And it begins with the play-in tournament. And this play-in tournament, I think, is a little more complicated than I thought it was going to be or even have to be. I assume that 7 would play 10, 8 would play 9, and then you move on. And that the higher seed, you only have to win once, lower seed has to win twice. That's how I thought this was going to go. However, that may not be the case. Now, Charles Barkley was on Inside the NBA last night. They, of course, were doing their show on TNT. And they figured, let's have Barkley try to explain this to everyone. The NBA playoffs begin in 11 days. In case you're confused about the play-in tournament, don't worry, because Charles Barkley is here to help you out. Here's how Barkley broke it down.
America, okay, loser. Loser.
So here's what's going to happen.
Loser.
You're not explaining the format.
I am explaining it. These two teams are losers.
Right.
The two losers are going to play each other. The two half losers are going to play each other.
Hey, which one should we watch, the pointer or your finger?
So,
what happens in that 9-10 game?
Well, so the two top losers move over here.
They're not the top losers, actually.
They are.
The worst losers.
They're the first.
Nine is playing 10, Charles.
Yeah, they're the first two losers.
Okay, so what happens then?
So they play each other, uh-huh. And the winner gets all moved over here.
And what happens to the other one?
Well, then the two baby losers, 7 and 8, they play over here.
Yo, put the laser down, you know.
Okay.
Where's the winner go?
The winner goes right over here to the 7th seed over here. Okay. And these two losers going to play the number one seed. Then they'll be losered out after the first round of the playoffs.
And then I have a feeling it's going to be the same thing on the other side, only in red.
These are the two losers. These are 9 and 10, America.
Okay.
And these are 7 and 8.
So if 9 beats 10, what happens?
They play the winner.
No, just what happens with if 9?
They play the loser of 7-8. They play the second loser.
Okay.
Okay. And then the winner plays the 8 seed, the first loser. They're going to get killed.
Okay.
Then the second loser goes down here to number 7.
You know what this sounds like, Chuck?
What?
First time somebody was explaining crypto coins to me.
Hey, listen.
I didn't know what they were talking.
Crypto coins. I don't believe in crypto coins.
I'm just saying. You better believe, but I'm just saying.
Jack, you believe in crypto coin?
Nah.
There you go. Do we have it all figured out now? Do we understand how this play-in tournament's going to work for the NBA playoffs in 11 days? Did Barkley help? Sounds a lot like when Dennis Rodman in the documentary The Last Dance was explaining how he's such a good rebounder. And he was saying, if it hits the rim over here, then I'm over here. If it hits the rim here, I'm going to go over here. Sometimes it goes over here, I'm over here. And he's pointing all around. It's like, what are you talking about? Sounds like Barkley explaining the play-in tournament. I'm glad we all have that sorted out. Now we're good to go. We'll get to the Falcons stuff in just a moment. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's give the phones another try. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff is with us. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Luke. Can you hear me?
We got you. What's up?
Okay, I just wanted to I was listening to you talking about the Brooklyn Nets, and I want to respectfully disagree.
Go for it.
I think the 76ers are going to be the team coming out of the East, and I think the reason is Brooklyn doesn't play good defense. They're like 24th in team defensive efficiency in the NBA. And I just think when they come to the playoffs with Philadelphia with home court advantage, I think they'll be the team to come out of the East. I actually think Milwaukee has a better chance than Brooklyn. And in the West, I agree. I think it's going to be Utah. They have a point differential of like 9.5. So, and with their home court, I think those will be the two teams in the NBA Finals, Utah and Philadelphia.
So you think the 2-1 seeds will be there in the end?
I really do, yep.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it, Jeff. You can disagree anytime you want. And you're speaking my language, bringing point differential to the table with the Utah Jazz. I love it. Yeah, the Jazz are plus 9.5, as he said. Jeff nailed the number. And the next closest team is the Bucks at 6. So they're 3.5 points better per night than the next best team in the league. I think the Brooklyn Nets, I hear the concerns with defense. But I've been saying all year, the defense is not my biggest concern. I'm more concerned about the potential lack of chemistry because I think Brooklyn can score enough, and I think come playoff time, they'll play good enough defense that those guys, when pressed into playoff time, especially in the fourth quarter, they'll get a few stops when necessary. But I will say, since Brooklyn acquired James Harden, they actually are, and I know they haven't all played together, but if you use that as the marking point and look at the Nets since that trade, they are around, last I looked, 16th in the league in defense. So they are average. They started the season as one of the bottom, like, eight teams in defense for the first few weeks. They have improved. But I just think come playoff time, guys turn it on. And when you're talking about three pros like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, yeah, maybe they have some issues off the court. Right? Maybe James Harden hasn't always tried the hardest at times. Maybe his game doesn't translate the best of the playoffs. Maybe Kyrie Irving can be a bit of a flake. Right? Maybe Kevin Durant needs to team up with other stars. But they're all competitors, and they want to win. That's why they're in Brooklyn together. And come playoff time, I think they'll turn it up an extra notch defensively. But I don't think they need to make a ton of defensive stops because of how good they are offensively. When all three are healthy, it could be statistically the best offense we've ever seen. That makes it a little bit easier on your defense. The only team I know outside of the top 10 to win the NBA championship, outside of the top 10 defensively, in the last 25 years was the Lakers when they had Shaq and Kobe. But when they had Shaq and Kobe, A, they turned it on a little bit defensively in the playoffs. But B, they had two of the greatest scorers that they could just outscore teams. Now, it doesn't happen very frequently. Even when the Golden State Warriors were out shooting everybody, they still played good enough defense. But I'm putting my faith in the Nets that, A, their offense is just that good when healthy, when you have all three guys. I mean, who do you choose to stop? You try to game plan against one, they still have two and three. You try your best to take away two guys, they still have a third option. And then my B, why it's not as big of a concern, is just because I think the defense will be even better for them in the playoffs. Teams always play harder, play better defense come playoff time. And when you're talking about those three guys, they know what's on the line. I think they'll ramp up the effort even higher. Now, Philadelphia, that could be a tough matchup. I don't know how big of a difference home court advantage will make this year because of the lack of the full stadiums. You will have to, of course, travel. The Sixers will be used to their home floor. But the Sixers will have home court advantage on Brooklyn. And also, my concerns would be how Brooklyn matches up with Joel Embiid. Because when you talk about Harden, Durant, Kyrie Irving, when you talk about those three guys, even a Joe Harris, I don't know if they have the guys inside to slow down a Joel Embiid. I mean, that's why Brooklyn has gone out and tried to add some of these pieces mid-season, some of these veterans. But I don't know if they, especially the way Embiid's played this year. That would be my concern with the matchup. Right? And that's why you go out and you get a DeAndre Jordan. And that's why you go out and you get even a Blake Griffin, an athlete in the post, play some defense. But I just think Brooklyn, with those three, just have too much talent. We'll see how things play out. The playoffs begin in 11 days. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons, and I know, I've been beating this horse to death about Matt Ryan. I thought the Falcons should have drafted Justin Fields last week. I think they should start the changing of the guard at the quarterback position. But I also have history on my side. We filibustered here in this segment, so let's come back and I'll share that history with you. I think the Falcons are on the wrong side of history when it comes to trying to turn around this roster, and I'll explain why. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway, where hustle's the name of the game. Nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain.
Coming up, history is on the wrong side of the Atlanta Falcons. And I'll share that history with you in just a moment here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Joe, you told me this song was used in High School High?
Yeah, it was a spoof starring John Lovitz.
Yes.
To take on of all the hero teacher or hero educator movies. And during the school dance scene, he says, yeah, I'll go and put on this song here. I'm sure they'll like it. And, of course, the DJ starts, you know, doing the scratching thing and stuff like that, you know. And,
yeah,
you know, Rhinestone, and stuff like that. And then when he gives them the record back, it's all, you know, torn apart and such.
That's funny. I saw that movie as a kid, and I loved it. And I haven't seen it in the years since, so I don't remember that scene. But I tried to DVR it recently, a few months ago. I have YouTube TV. And so I tried to DVR it, and I went to go watch it afterwards. Because I really remember enjoying that film, and I love John Lovitz. And I went to go watch it, and I don't know what happened, but it was another movie. It was some, like, chick flick film from the 80s. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't High School High. And now the way YouTube TV works is that it won't, you know, it thinks it's already registered, it's already recorded. So every time it comes on, it won't record it for me. So I've been trying to watch High School High. I got to see if it's on a streaming service. Because YouTube TV is really letting me down right now.
It was on Crackle for a while. But I don't know if it's still on there.
You have to pay for Crackle?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never had to.
All right, perfect. Oh, well, then you must be doing something right.
Well, it's having a Roku and a smart TV.
Well, look at this guy. Yeah, that's right. That's TV in 2021. Hey, the More Midday Show is brought to you by Canty Foundation Specialist. You ever have a problem around the house? You think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation Specialist can. Give them a call, 843-484-3625, or check them out online at cantycanfixit.com. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. They offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. They will fix your sidewalk, your driveway, your pool deck. They will level the concrete. They will repair the crawl space. They do commercial foundations, basement waterproofing, gutter installs, garage floor coating. And this time of year, you're outside, it's nice out, you're keeping the shoes off. By the way, right, there's a portion of the population believes it's good for you to have your feet touch the ground, your actual feet. That it would be good for you every day if you go outside, you just put your feet in the grass. Walk on the actual soil of the world with your bare feet. So you're outside more, you're barefoot, it's nice out, maybe you're out by the pool. You don't want concrete around the neighborhood, around the yard that is cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or pool deck. So the Canty Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of your little toes. You can contact them for a free estimate online at cantycanfixit.com or call them 843-484-3625, the Canty Foundation Specialists. You know, we started the show talking about the NBA and how it may be more open this year than normal. For those that want parity in the NBA, this could be the year for you. We heard from Jeff last segment, a listener who believes the two top seeds will be in the finals, and that very well may be the case. His concern with the Brooklyn Nets is defense, and that's a fair concern. I went back to look because watching them this year, it seems like, man, Embiid, Giannis, they've really torched them. So I went back and crunched the numbers during the commercial break. And for Brooklyn, when they go up against Philadelphia and Milwaukee this year, the two best teams in the East other than the Nets, Brooklyn is 2-4 against those two teams. But more so, they've allowed over 108 points in all six games, over 116 points in five of the six games. And when you want to talk about the stars, my concern for Brooklyn defensively is their lack of talent inside to slow down the bigs. Joel Embiid against Brooklyn this year has gone for 39, 33, and the one time Brooklyn actually beat Philadelphia, he scored 20. Right, when they slowed him down, they won the game. Meanwhile, for Giannis, 36 points, 49 points, 34 points. And he's somebody that we know, even if he's not in the post, he gets right to the rim. You need a rim protector to slow down Giannis. Defense is a fair concern. I don't think it's the biggest concern. I think come postseason time, the defense will be improved and the offense will be so good if all three guys are on the floor, that will make your defense look better. I get why there's plenty of concerns for defense. It's the obvious concern. My bigger concern is the potential lack of chemistry, like we saw with the Clippers a year ago. But with that said, I'm still riding with Brooklyn because I think that trio is so good that if they are all healthy and on the floor at the same time, they are good enough to figure this thing out. I thought the same about the Clippers last year, and they burned me. Maybe the Nets will do the same, but I'm going to go down with that ship. I think Brooklyn still wins the NBA championship this year because that trio is just that good. In regards to the Atlanta Falcons, I know I won't let this Matt Ryan thing go. You're driving around thinking he's still talking about the draft last week and Matt Ryan. I thought the Falcons should have drafted Justin Fields. I think they should start the changing of the guard at the quarterback position. But I also have history on my side. A couple of pieces of data. Number one, the only quarterbacks over 31 to even play in a Super Bowl the last 20 years, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner. Three Hall of Famers. Warner is already there. Peyton Manning's on his way. Tom Brady, whenever he retires, he'll be there immediately. Only three quarterbacks have even reached the Super Bowl the last 20 years at the age of 32 or older. The next oldest on that list, by the way, is Matt Ryan a few years ago when he was 31 at the time. Outside of Tom Brady, the last five quarterbacks to appear in the Super Bowl were all in their 20s. Matt Ryan is now 36. Not many quarterbacks his age get to the Super Bowl, if that's still the hope, the plan, the dream for the Falcons. Aaron Rodgers hasn't. He hasn't reached the Super Bowl in his 30s. Ben Roethlisberger hasn't. Drew Brees couldn't. Philip Rivers couldn't. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, they won their Super Bowls early. They never got back. Matt Ryan just finished his 13th season with the Atlanta Falcons. Did you know that the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers after Brett Favre's 13th season in Green Bay? Or the fact that the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo after Tom Brady's 13th season in New England. Or that Aaron Rodgers just finished his 13th year and he may be done in Green Bay. And they, by the way, drafted Jordan Love last year. Andrew Luck was drafted after Peyton Manning's 13th season in Indianapolis, and then they moved on. The 49ers moved on from Joe Montana after his 13th season. The Steelers drafted a quarterback after Ben Roethlisberger's 13th season. They then drafted another one a year later. Now, Roethlisberger's still the quarterback, but the Steelers at that point started their plan, their transition. They're moving on from Roethlisberger that whenever that time may come, they'll be prepared. The Chargers drafted a quarterback after Phillip Rivers' 13th season. Taysom Hill was first used by the New Orleans Saints. The first time he threw a pass in a game for the Saints was in Drew Brees' 13th season. Eli Manning was benched the only time in his career. It ended his consecutive start streak right after his 13th season. 13 has been the unlucky number for quarterbacks. These quarterbacks are either done by year 13 or at minimum, their teams have their replacement plan in place at year 13. They realize, yep, we have to come up with plan B because we are on borrowed time. And yet Matt Ryan just finished his 13th season, and the Falcons have no replacement plan in place. Instead, they're actually putting more eggs into that basket. Very few quarterbacks have made it to the Super Bowl at his age. Very few quarterbacks have continued to succeed beyond year 13 with their team. And yet the Falcons, they restructured his contract to apparently keep him around. They go out and they get him another target in Kyle Pitts instead of a potential replacement. They're making moves. Arthur Smith, the new head coach, made a comment last week that said, hey, if the Falcons are looking to rebuild, then they hired the wrong coach because I'm not here to rebuild. They're going all in on Matt Ryan. But the history shows that, A, quarterbacks of this age, unless you're really good, unless you're Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Kurt Warner didn't win the Super Bowl, he got there, throw him in there. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if Matt Ryan's a Hall of Famer. But if you're of the elite quarterbacks, you can maybe make it work. Otherwise, at this age, it's very hard to make a Super Bowl. Rodgers, Brees, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli Manning, they didn't. If they did get to the Super Bowl, it was earlier in their career, not in their mid to late 30s. And for many quarterbacks, by year 13, teams are either moving on from them or at least starting to. And the Falcons have not started to. They had to go out and sign A.J. McCarron this past week because they had no other quarterback on the roster. And McCarron is not some sort of long-term answer either. I'm curious to see how Matt Ryan plays in this offense. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is still playing. Tom Brady still gave the Patriots more years after they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. He won them a Super Bowl. But at least the Patriots realized at that point, and Brady is the ultimate outlier. The Patriots, the Steelers, they realize, like, yeah, you know what? We have to start coming up with a plan. Much like maybe your kid gets to a certain age and you think, oh boy, I better start putting more money away for his college fund. Or maybe you get to a certain age and you think, oh boy, I better make sure I have my affairs in order here. Let me do a will. Let me make sure the things are set for the family. And for the Falcons, when it comes to the quarterback and they get to a certain age, you have to realize, you have to figure out, you know, oh, here we go. We're reaching this time. In this quarterback's career, in their football life, we have to start coming up with the plan B, with how we're going to handle the situation of moving on for Matt Ryan. And the Falcons haven't done it yet. But that was a great opportunity last week to start by drafting a Justin Fields. That would be like Jordan Love. That would be like drafting Aaron Rodgers. That would be like drafting Jimmy Garoppolo. What these other teams have done. Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. When other teams realized that year 13, yeah, you know what? This is time to kind of rip off the Band-Aid and let's find a plan B. And the Falcons passed on a great opportunity to try and do that last week. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go back to the phones. Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
All right, how you doing, Mr. Luke?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Hey, you know, Tom Brady, they're rebuilding that Tampa Bay Buccaneers line where he's going to have a lot of weapons to go to. Not only that, the defense is going to be build up, and they going to be a superpower here when the new season comes up. And I don't know who can run against maybe Philadelphia Eagles, but, you know, Tom Brady's just, you know, he's a good quarterback.
Did you say the Philadelphia Eagles? You think that's the team that's going to challenge the Buccaneers?
Maybe. Maybe. So, you know, just Tom Brady's just hard to beat, you know. He's got all his weapons in place and all that. So, Tampa Bay's got it going on, so I think they go into another Super Bowl next year.
You got them winning it all again next year?
Yep.
All right. That's the official prediction from Super Dave. Look, of course, the Buccaneers are the favorite. In fact, if we have time, we're jam-packed this afternoon. If we have time, we'll get to this about now that the draft is done with and we're into the offseason here, which teams are best positioned in the NFL to go on and have success this upcoming season. But obviously, the Buccaneers have to be the favorite because they just won the Super Bowl and they're bringing everybody back. The 37 players that played the most snaps last year, if you looked at the snap count, the top 37 guys are all back on the roster from last year. Every starter, all of the coaches. And now it's year two of Tom Brady in that system with those players with an actual offseason this year. They won the Super Bowl last year during a pandemic, piecing everything together on the fly with no offseason. The Buccaneers should be the clear favorite this year. And if there's any quarterback that can win back-to-back Super Bowls, well, the last one to do it was the man that will be trying to do it now, Tom Brady. So they're the clear favorite. It's hard to repeat in the NFL, but this is as good of an opportunity as any because never before has a Super Bowl champion returned every starter like Tampa Bay is doing. They'll head into the season as the obvious favorite, and for good reason. Coming up, we'll wrap up Hour 1 with an update on name, image, and likeness because there is an update on this state and then two other states in the SEC. And we've been talking about this on the show. If you haven't been following along, this could be a very important story once we hit the summer months and get ready for the upcoming football season, specifically in the SEC, the most important football conference. We'll update you on the latest when we come back. It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mar Midday Show.
Coming up, a verdict in at least this state for name, image, and likeness. It's the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping up Hour 1, we're scheduled to catch up with Torrey Gurley, the wide receiver, former wide receiver of the Gamecocks, in about 10 minutes. To start next hour, we got some giveaways to get to throughout this afternoon. But we've been talking about name, image, and likeness on the show here for weeks, if not months, because things have really ramped up this offseason. And the reason why we talked about why it's such a big deal, not only because, you know, them players can make money off their name, image, and likeness, but it's become a real, it's an arms race, and it's become a real recruiting tool. That states are now racing, they're fighting with one another, especially here in the Southeast, because we know in the SEC it just means more. So you have states that have SEC football programs, they're fighting with one another, not literally, right? They're just racing with one another to try to achieve, to try to pull this off first. They want to be one of the first ones, and at that point, one of the only ones in the conference that can offer their athletes to get money. It would be quite the recruiting pitch. So yesterday, here in South Carolina, the bill was signed by Governor McMaster to pass name, image, and likeness. It went through the South Carolina House by a 103 to 115 margin and then was signed yesterday. Now, here's the thing. South Carolina is following the original plan that this won't take effect until May of 2022. And we've talked about this before, but that was the original idea, that these states had this idea, this plan that, hey, let's put it into effect 3 years from now, and it's going to give the NCAA 3 years to figure this out. And if they don't, well, then, you know, we have our backup plan. We have already signed these bills. They'll go into effect if the NCAA doesn't do anything. Florida threw this all out of whack because Florida saw an opportunity, and they said, forget that. All these states are going to wait 3 years. Let's do ours next summer. So Florida signed theirs into effect, and it's supposed to go into effect July 1st this year. However, there was some sort of issue, and I didn't read into it, but Florida, I guess, they're pushing back the start. So I guess it won't be July now. But Florida was the first, and then other states saw this, and they thought, oh boy, right, we better get this bill passed and do so by the summer. And Georgia became the latest. That not only did South Carolina pass the name, image, and likeness bill, but so too did Georgia yesterday. And theirs will go into effect this summer, July 1st. And their governor, Brian Kemp, even said during the signing ceremony yesterday that this would attract the kind of student athletes to Georgia that it would be required to win a national championship. We know that that was the point in all of this. That's how important SEC football is. That we have politicians in all these states racing to get this done for a football advantage. Not because maybe they thought it was right, right? Not because of academics, that not only will it help athletes, but also that could be good for them, you know, academically to go to these schools, but no, simply just to try to win the SEC or a national title. And as Brian Kemp said yesterday, simply put, college athletes should be fairly compensated for use of name, image, and likeness. I'm a little biased, but I think this will give Coach Kirby Smart every bit of help he needs to bring home a national championship. Right, that was the statement. Not, you know, this is great for the players. No, I think this is what it's going to take to finally get a national championship to Georgia. And let me tell you, as a sports fan and as somebody who works in the sports industry, I couldn't care less. I love it. I love that that's how the decision is made, because I could tell you in my life, that's how most of my decisions are made. Like, do I want to go out to dinner? Well, the Red Sox are playing at 7 o'clock. You know, can we do an early dinner? I want to get home and watch the Red Sox tonight. I love it. That's how I base my decisions, so I'm glad politicians are doing it as well in this case. Maybe not all cases. But South Carolina, they passed it. It won't be until 2022. So that's the good news, bad news. Because in the meantime, I mean, we're already 2020. It's going to be next year. It's going to be a year behind. But they're going to be a year behind where Georgia is going into effect this summer. Florida was supposed to. See what happens there. I think Alabama's is going into effect some point this year. And South Carolina won't be too far behind, which is obviously good news for Clemson and South Carolina. And by the way, for Georgia, you have to read the fine print with these things. In Alabama, in their fine print, they have that players could also get a stipend. But in Georgia, in their fine print, they have that the schools can take up to 75% of the athlete's endorsement income. And that it could either be deposited into like an account until they graduate, or the school could even just take a portion. So you have to always read the fine print with this stuff, but it's going to be a big thing in recruiting starting this summer. Hour two next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.